summary, which you received by email. Is everybody accepting the minutes from the previous meeting? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody against it? Any omissions? And okay. Under old business, Sheila's going to tell us a little bit about what she's been doing for the bees and for us, by extension.
So far, I have two individuals and one farm that are interested in working with us and with Bee City and setting up bee boxes, which would probably be a total of approximately 10 boxes for pollinators.
Oh, I'm in a meeting. I'll call you back.
And I'm continuing to gather information and more volunteers to let us place those out and see what goes from there.
And you said one of them was a county commissioner?
Yeah, Charlie Messer. He's going to let me put up. He'll carry the majority. He'll have about 6 boxes.
That's great.
More publicity would help.
And
I'm known more, I think, would help.
Yes.
And that's, I'm working on that.
Stop it! I'm sorry. I don't know how do I turn it off? There, it's off. Sorry.
This is also going to kind of work hand in hand with some suggestions that Kim made with individual businesses and the rooftop gardens, things like that.
Cool.
So, and also raising awareness of native species, because they're slowly getting replaced around here.
I in my front yard have a Fraser fir, blue spruce, which is not local. And my landscape architect looks at it and says,
"Well, with native bees in the area too, there are particular flowers and plants that they are attracted to, and as we stray away from our native species, then we're also taking away from the native bees. So,
the pollinators.
Sometimes the things that they eat are so narrowly defined that you can lose a species when you lose a plant.
We have a large selection of bees. not all of them are, honeybees and
things you think of.
When you think of, you automatically think of honey and bees and everything else. But there are so many different
that pollinate
of those bees. Yes, they all pollinate.
Not wasps and stuff like that.
All bees do pollinate.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they're all the way down to teeny tiny little bees that
bees and
what about the farmers? I mean, the farmers planting GMO crops and spraying, killing the bees.
That's a
big issue.
A lot of the apple farmers also use out of Asheville to bring in bees. Because all the people that I talk to about doing this, they already go through Bee City.
Yeah.
So they are already introduced to that.
We're just trying to increase that and also get back to the native species plants.
And being independent. I mean, if you have these bee die-offs where all the hives from some farmer that's been renting out bees for 20 years die,
we won't have any food.
Yeah. Nor will our economy be very happy because of all our apple growers and stuff. So, thank you for doing that. Kim, did you come up with anything as far as what our local county commissioners are already spending on, and from DOT, what they're spending on?
What they're spending for native seeds. I don't know if you recall, but when I talked to them, you said the reason why is because of the resources. There's not enough resources to get native species. There's no one to grow it, so they don't have it. So they have to do the invasive species because of there's just not enough. They said they buy out as much as they can of the native and then supplement with invasive because that's all they can get.
It's actually going to take a movement to get them to change their way of thinking. Again, publicity would be a big thing. It's going to take a movement to get them to understand that.
And also having the property to be able to rejuvenate every year. You know, we need to have this area, and we harvest this area for seeds for them, but then every year we have to have that plus more.
Yeah.
You know, to have any kind of stock. There's no stock.
What about the school that we have? They have a agricultural program or
horticulture.
Horticulture would be a good idea.
Maybe contacting them and seeing if they would grow these native species and offer
and
them.
And then offer the seeds to the county. That would be a good idea.
I don't think there's resources for that either.
Well, see, they would be asking us for resources, though.
Maybe we could get a grant. I mean, there's all this money.
Because I volunteer with the 4-H group with the schools, and they do their own gardens at school, and the stuff that they harvest from their garden, they use in the cafeteria at school, you know, so the kids get this reward, like, we grew this, and now everyone's eating it.
Yeah.
They have to also have the area to do it in as well. If they don't have the area to do it in, they're not going to be able to do it either.
Yeah.
So it's going to take someone volunteering saying, hey, I can give the 4-H this amount of area, and horticulture and high school children or whoever, what is it, FFA, there might be someone with that who might help.
Yeah.
But we have to find someone who's willing to give us a piece of land to do it or finances for them.
I don't see
but I'm sure the schools would.
I don't see why we couldn't approach the project that's going on down at Highlands, where they're actually inventorying the species and everything, and see if we couldn't.
That's what we saw about a field trip. Remember?
Yeah, one day
we saw about we needed to go there and check out their bees and what they're doing. That's the place that Sheila's talking about.
Skipping ahead to defining where our next field trip will go, why don't we do that?
That would be good.
Can we do that?
Are there going to be bees flying around?
Well, I'm allergic to bees, so
I'm not actually going to a bee farm.
They're just a group of people that are inventorying the species that they have, and
and working on native plants.
Funding for some
I'll check on that and see what we can do about.
Well, for what it's worth, I have a friend who is willing to put a hive on part of the land.
Oh, there's another one.
It's near West Henderson High School.
If you could
does he do agriculture too?
Can you give me his information and let him know that I will be contacting him?
Sure.
Or I'll just give you my information.
Yeah, that'd be the best way.
I guess it's just a matter of we all keep our ear to the ground, and anytime anybody
comes across a resource,
drag it in, jump on them, say, how would you like to? A farmer could, but if it's the school's going to be doing it or the 4-H is going to be doing it, I think it would need to be, you know, near them.
Well, it would have to be, each school would have to have a designated area close to their school. Like, their garden is in the back of their school.
Yeah.
You know.
They've got land.
Yeah, and I just recently helped Dana Elementary School with a Going Green grant. So they have this working with the whole capturing the water to use it for irrigation for their garden. Plus, I got them a grant for solar power.
Yeah.
So they are working
for a pump.
Not only for the pump, but they're also going to try to use it in their little animal stations.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much they'll be able to produce, but they want to go bigger and bigger and bigger. So they applied for a $30,000 solar grant. I hope they get it.
Yeah. From the things Rachel sent us, there's money lying around out there. There's no reason our farmers couldn't benefit from it.
Exactly. So there's actually a 4-H awards ceremony tonight for the district. So I could possibly bring it up to some of the teachers and the leaders in that area today, because it's tonight.
Oh, good.
And I can ask them if they possibly have area to where we can do maybe some, like grass. I think grass would probably be the easiest, you know. But we would have to go out there and show them how to harvest the seeds as well to get it out of there.
Yeah. And some species self
Self-rejuvenate there. Yeah. But if we want to like get it elsewhere, we have to harvest them seeds
to get it to the county. Places,
right.
We
got to
supply them the seed.
And if our own kids are harvesting those seeds and we get some publicity when they're doing it, and it would be harder for DOT to ignore it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, that's a lot of people standing behind it. If you have, who's going to deny the kids? don't make the kids suffer.
The work for nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
But I think FFA and agriculture in high school would be good, too. It would be a good credit for them as well.
So Sheila's going to check on the Highlands possibility and get back to me by phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to check with the schools and
4-H.
And 4-H, okay.
I'm going to start with 4-H and go upward. How about that? Or I'll start with high school and go down.
One or t'other.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
Cool. Thank you, ladies. I came across something that happened this week. I've been housebound and watching TV. And in the news, there appeared a controversy about measles vaccination. Now, my ears popped up because my own daughter, based on the studies 10 years ago linking autism and getting your normal shots, refused to have her own children vaccinated, which is okay because she homeschools and, you know, she didn't run into any trouble. And she isolated her kids when they were in that vulnerable time when, you know, they're past their mother's milk, giving them immunities and their own immunities haven't kicked in, you know, robustly yet. So fortunately, my grandchildren lived. And now we find out, 10 years later, that the study has been debunked, that it was based on a small sample, 200 people, that the media picked up on this one study, and people made policy decisions, like my daughter, based on a now discredited study. And I started, my mind started clicking that in with the, remember the hockey stick scandal?
Mm.
Where the UN based their policy and their education system and everything on these studies, again done in England. I think our scientists are maybe more honest. What do you think? I'm prejudiced. And so now the UN says we ought to do it, and then the United States government follows what they say, and now we're down to our own sustainability programs, and all based on the fact that carbon dioxide is our enemy. And, of course, it really just makes the plants grow more lively, and we breathe it in and out all the time. And, you know, I can see basing policy on getting particulate matter out of our air so we're not causing people to have asthma. And I lived in Denver, and you'd come over the hill, and you could see that bowl where Denver was, and it was, like, yellow in there. And you're breathing that, you know. So I'm not against clean air. I'm against basing policy on perhaps very shaky science. I'd like to take 6 minutes of your time and read you something just to get the discussion going. All over the country, city and regional governments are writing sustainability plans, which are supposedly aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions. While the goal may be laudable, for the most part, these plans won't even significantly reduce emissions. However, they will certainly impose huge costs on urban residents and taxpayers. From Lafayette, Louisiana, to the Twin Cities, to San Francisco Bay Area, the heart of the plan consists of one-size-fits-all prescription, making costly transit improvements in major corridors and then subsidizing the construction of high-density housing in those corridors so a lot of people will have access to the transit. This prescription not only demands a huge change in American lifestyles, but it also offers no reason to think it will help save the planet. The Department of Energy, for example, has found that multifamily housing actually uses more energy and therefore emits more greenhouse gases per square foot than single-family homes. The only way multifamily housing would save energy would be if people accepted smaller homes. A better solution is making single-family homes more energy efficient, which costs less and does not require the loss of privacy in multifamily housing. I can do that. That's my husband. Meanwhile, data from the Department of Transportation show that transit uses on average about the same amount of energy and emits about the same amount of greenhouse gases per passenger mile as the average car. Getting people out of their cars and onto transit won't reduce emissions, but it will inconvenience a lot of people because transit is slow, expensive, and inflexible. Even if transit were truly greener than driving, the transit plus density solution doesn't even reduce driving. Between 1980 and 2010, San Francisco Bay Area population densities grew by more than 55%, and the region built more than 200 miles of rail transit lines and scores of high-density developments along these lines. Yet, per capita transit ridership fell by a third, while per capita driving increased by at least 5%. I guess the rest walk, which wouldn't hurt any of us, but anyway. Moreover, cars are rapidly becoming more energy efficient. It takes around 10 years and a huge amount of energy to plan and build a rail transit line. But for 10 years from today, the average car on the road will be at least 25% more fuel efficient than cars today. We fought hard to get that to happen. We can do a lot of things to emissions, but we have to ask whether they are cost effective. It won't do much good to reduce emissions if we bankrupt ourselves in the process, as our descendants will be too busy trying to survive to worry about the planet as a whole, the way it is in China. You know, they don't care about emissions. They're just trying to make some money. A 2007 report from McKinsey.
That's true, by the way.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe it is.
What? You don't?
Chinese government's about to make a major push.
Are they?
Yes.
Good.
They're very concerned about it, in fact.
Good, because it's
dreadful. Beijing's the most polluted, air polluted city in the world.
Yeah, they're taking steps already. They're leading towards that. It's a very
huge issue.
Because
people wear
right
masks.
Now. Yes.
A 2007 report from McKinsey and Company suggests that anything that costs more than about $50 per ton of abated emissions is a waste of money. Even using the optimistic assumptions built into sustainability plans, the transit and density strategy will cost thousands of dollars per ton, and it's more likely that it won't reduce emissions at all. While transit and density won't significantly reduce emissions, it will have huge effects on cities. It will make traffic more congested and roads less safe. It will make housing less affordable and increase other consumer costs. Besides, the increased tax burden will drive away jobs. Population data clearly show that the fastest growing urban areas are ones that have kept housing affordable by not using land use regulation to impose lifestyle changes on their residents. For example, urban areas in Texas, which has some of the least restrictive land use laws, are growing far faster than in California, which has some of the most restrictive laws. Data also show that urban areas that spend more on transit grow more slowly. Of the nation's 65 largest urban areas, the ones that spent the most on transit in the 1990s tended to grow more slowly in the 2000s than the ones that spent less. This doesn't mean that regions have to settle for poor quality transit. In most places outside of New York City, buses can move many people as fast and as comfortably as trains at a far lower cost, especially if they're like our buses when they're running on natural gas and things. So. In short, the transit plus density prescription imposes major costs on cities without significantly saving energy or reducing emissions. Urban leaders need to be wary of people who propose policies that are anything but sustainable. I'm throwing that out on the floor for discussion and to comparing it to our a couple of things in our sustainability plan where it's assumed that we really, really need to reduce CO2. We really, really need to reduce air pollution. Surely we do. But I would hate to see us, well, for example, the electric car business. Certainly an electric car puts out less emissions than a diesel car or a car running on gasoline. But nobody thinks about the emissions creating the electricity. If the electricity comes from a coal plant, you're making more.
Yeah, exactly.
Emissions. So I think we need to be very careful and require of our sustainability plan that it actually has figures about how much it's going to cost to save, and exactly what they're going to save. And if that goal is a desirable goal, is it? Let's turn to what is it, page seven?
Seven.
I mixed up my charter here. I'm doing my thing where I flip through my book where I carefully looked at it before I came. Now I can't find it. I've got it all dog-eared. Talk among yourselves. Does anybody have... Here it is. Does anybody have a reaction to that? Does that affect how they think of the sustainability plan that we have? Going to my dog ears. Seven.
Well, Pam, you may have sort of touched on it, but as I was going through this document from a purely reference point of view, on the very back end, a number of references, you brought up the United Nations. There are other references in here. And one thing that I thought was a potential enhancement to this tool is to say, where in the content are we referring to which source document? In some instances, it's identified for us. It talks about a particular party plan. But in particular, I was curious where we refer to things from the United Nations. Where is that in here? Where is that footnoted? Because I think as you go through there, it would be helpful to understand there is a lot of legitimate concern over relying on that organization as a benchmark against which we would make either recommendations or decisions here. And so that would be my kind of suggestion. It doesn't really address your specific question, Pam, but at the document level, I think that would be helpful. So as we go through this, and anyone else goes through this, we could say to ourselves, well, who said that?
And why
who's
should we do
that? Declaring that? And again, mm-hmm. in some instances, that's already in here because you've done a nice job of capturing that, the resource. I think in other cases, we could be helped by that.
Yeah. We have a wonderful plan here. I mean,
good.
It's hitting all the buttons and making life more pleasant and making real estate easier to sell and making our future generations' chances of earning a living and having a pleasant place to live covered. I mean, we've got the solid waste management. We're watching the water resources. We're you know, hitting all these buttons. The only place that I could find that I had questions was the energy. And so being annoying, I thought I would bring that up.
Sure.
For example, it says that among our plan elements are carbon footprint reduction. Well, since carbon emissions have been going up for the past 10 years exponentially, and global warming has been sort of perking along in a line like that, or even declining, although the most recent, I think it was 0.04 something, warmer.
It depends on how you look at the
statistics. Yeah, that's the statistics. But it certainly hasn't been going up at the same rate that the carbon emissions have. And so why are we trying to reduce our carbon footprint? I mean, why would we spend money on that or do things in that area? Carbon and greenhouse gas emissions reductions. Who wants to breathe ashes and smoke? But on the other hand, you know, it's really nice to have cheap gas and be able to get to your job. So I think we need to maybe go back and justify some of our goals. That was page 7. Then on page 9, talking about goals, again, a reduction of carbon footprint. And that's just one of the three that they list there. So why are we doing that is my question. And then again, under the maximize energy savings in facilities, they're doing sensible things like I just went into the ladies' room and turned the light on when I went in and turned the light off when I went out. I mean, this organization, our town, really is on top of it. I mean, a simple thing like posting a please turn the light off thing is saving energy. I mean, this is just good global housekeeping. It's saving the taxpayer money. You can't argue with that. But when we start talking about reducing petroleum consumption by pushing alternative fuels, is that what we want to be doing right now, where gasoline is like really cheap and we're coming up with new ways of doing gasoline, you know, the fracking and stuff. Is that a goal of ours? Do most people here really want that to be one of our goals?
What page are you on?
I'm on page 13 now.
Oh.
Page 13. I was wondering why you were writing that.
Where'd I get that? I'm working at... and that goes from the page that starts over on energy awareness, education, and information on the previous page.
Did you state in there how you was going to get, like, this education out there to everybody? Or the, not, you know, to promote it?
Well, they do seminars. What else do we do? The education thing. I know you, like, I've attended seminars you've had on trash and recycling and stuff. So their presence at, like, the Apple Festival, they have a table with information. There's, so what would be the suggestion of to promote energy awareness, education, and information? What's planned? What does that mean?
There's not really a whole lot of future plans in this document. It's kind of an aggregation of things that have been done, but I get asked very frequently to do presentations to various community groups. I've been to Blue Ridge Community College a couple of times to do presentations. I get asked to do a lot of recycling presentations at church groups and homeowners associations. I also send out a lot of copies of our recycling brochures, put a lot of information online. And like Pam mentioned, anytime there's a chance to put some information out for people coming by, like the Apple Festival, Farm City Day or other kinds of events like that.
Yeah, I've seen it at Farm City and at the Apple Festival. But if I was someone who didn't go and do that, how would I get that information? Because, there are some that don't do that. You know, they don't have the money to go here or money to go there, or they're just homebodies. But if they were aware, hey, if you did this and this and this, you could save on that, they might consider doing it.
I've seen blurbs in gas bills or electric bills. I've seen blurbs sometimes.
I don't ever read that. I just see how much I read. You know?
Actually, you sort out that stuff and get down.
That, not throwing.
I do recycle.
What utilities do you put?
Yeah, well, because they say, hey, you call here, we'll send you the energy-efficient light bulbs. Yeah, that interests me. And I'm like, oh, okay,
don't get me
I'll
going.
Do that. But there's some trash... privately owned trash companies that don't promote their recycling, and these people just throw everything in a bag. Yep. So shouldn't you make them trash people pass out stuff to their customers to say, hey, we need to recycle. This is the list of recyclables. This is what you do.
Well,
because they don't do it. My person don't.
You can't. They can't actually do that. That would be an infringement upon your rights, and they can't... You can't go to them and say, take these flyers and hand them out to all your customers. That's their business. They don't have.
But a year ago, I know for a fact, my trash person did not pick up recycling. Throw everything in a bag, whatever. Okay. Well, he gave me a paper and said if I did not have blue and white bags, that he would quit taking my trash. Why can I get that treatment, but everyone else don't get that treatment and they don't have to recycle? What, maybe it was his personal note, maybe it's his personal preference, I'm going to take recycling, but shouldn't it be mandatory?
With a privately owned business. If it were a municipality, you could probably try to convince them to do something more effective in that manner, but with a privately
owned
business.
But they all dump in the same spot, so it should be mandatory for them to bring it to our transfer station to have it separated, I think.
Aren't they supposed to do that?
What's that?
Have it separated when they bring it up, even private haulers?
Marcus, do you want
to... Actually, we have two ways to recycle. The convenience center is a dual stream. You separate boxes and containers.
Right.
And then the haulers, we offer a single stream service where everything's coming in.
Yeah.
So it makes it easier on them to be able to collect because they only have two streams, trash and recycling, instead of three.
But is it not mandatory that their customers recycle?
Can they not promote it to?
Sure.
Well, they did. Remember when they were saying you get two bags of recycling and you get a free.
That's if you take it yourself.
Yes,
yeah, but I wonder if they could do that sort of thing with the company.
I mean, if you got into the companies and said, hey, why don't you like pass out this flyer when you do your monthly bill or whatever, let's try to promote this a little bit more, wouldn't that be a good kind of strategy point? Because everyone has trash.
Resources to the haulers if they want to, and we do not charge them for the recycling material, and they are charged for trash, obviously. That's consistent with our costs associated with those two different materials. We actually generate revenue on the recycling material. Obviously, we have to pay for the trash. But no, it's not mandatory. We try to do what we can to facilitate, and that's initiatives from the dealer. And we operate that facility under a permit from the state of North Carolina, and those are it's consistent policy with theirs. But you can't. There's not resources available to make people recycle.
Well, I mean, not make them, but at least promote it to where you say, hey, you should do this. This is what we take, and give them incentive and along with the customer incentive. The more incentive you get, the more people is going to do.
And we do. We have a website with a lot of information. We have marketing campaigns once or twice a year to promote the, JC and billboard that we have. And do press releases, and she's out doing presentations to folks frequently. But she's one person. I mean, we don't have, at some point, you have the amount of resources you can put at it and how much effective.
Marcus, do we know the scope of this audience that Kim's talking about? I mean, is it 1% of all waste, or is it 10%, 25%? What's the sense of what that on volume would be? Do we have an idea?
I think we're at 5%.
Recycles?
Recycling.
That's really low, though.
Believe it or not, we're...
Because, I mean, okay, for instance, the schools, they use paper and styrofoam, everything.
Yeah.
And it all goes into a trash, into the landfill. Something like that can't be changed or adjusted by some means.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, that's just the school, but, I mean, that's just one place.
That's got to be taken through a state level.
Yeah, that's got to go through the
and
school
regulated
board and all that stuff, I know. But
I tried to get our church to stop using styrofoam and ran into a stone wall. I could wash the dishes if I wanted to.
Well, then fine, I'll wash the dishes.
Yeah.
whatever. But, no... People don't want to do it because this person's not doing it, so I ain't going to do it either. That's the attitude that people have.
You have to approach everything individually and try to convince them of a whole new way of thinking, acting, and behaving.
Well, growing up really poor as a child, if you would have told my family, you're going to save some money here, we would have done it.
Well, that's the
but
trouble
that's
I ran
thing.
Into
People
with the church.
People don't say, oh, we're going to
the styrofoam was cheaper than the biodegradable paper. And of course, it would be cheaper to wash the darn dishes, Or everybody have their own cup and rinse it out. I've been in churches that did that. But I would have to get really pushy to get it to move, but I guess I need to.
Well, it's going to take a joined effort. It's going to...
It's not one person like Rachel doing it all. It's a bunch of people doing it. And then people take an interest in it.
Yeah.
And they pass their knowledge on to one person, to another, and get people to join. But people don't want to do it. They're selfish.
Well, let me react to that, because I get the notice from Duke monthly, I think it is, that compares our usage to a comparable house in terms of size.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we were favorable to the comparison, and then in the last year, it flipped.
Yeah.
My reaction to that is, so the hell what? What is it that I'm supposed to do? What can I possibly do? I'm not going to drop the temperature in the house from 68 down to 60-something, okay?
Yeah.
It's my house.
Exactly.
I think Sheila's getting at something. There's a fine line between taking care of things that relate to public entities like county organizations, municipalities, school boards. Once you start going over the line, it starts feeling a lot like 1984, where you're really kind of getting into some areas that maybe are beyond our scope. I think the idea of selling the idea, why is this good? And then that gets at the question Pam raised. Mm-hmm. The data that's out there is somewhat inconclusive. What difference I'm going to make if I do step A or step B? Am I saving the environment? Is there a cost savings in terms of the taxpayer base? I think those are all the things that we owe it to ourselves if we're going to spend any time to look at that and say, where are the lever points that are going to matter? And to individuals, it's going to vary. Some people, I live in the county, I recycle because that's what you do. We're doing that in suburban Chicago because where we live, that's what you do. You get into the habit, and after a while, it becomes
routine.
Your routine.
I'd be embarrassed not to put the blue bag out.
Exactly.
Well, I throw cans in my car just so I don't throw them in a trash can. Take them home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes to something like that as big as municipalities, and the individually owned garbage companies, the schools and things like that, they as a rule have to look at cost effectiveness before they can look at what's going on, because they have to be able to split everything. One thing that I would like to see happen is Mountain True become more vocal as far as public events, even individualized events, like when we did the tree recycling. I would have loved to have had more information for those people on various recycling things. We even ran out of newsletters before, and I did an early shift. I did 10 to 2, so, or 10 to 12, and if we could get more public awareness as far as the recycling programs and things. And that's like when I would bring up about the recycling of shingles, they're going, "Huh? What? Really?
We didn't know
you
that
can do that." And yeah, really.
That went through.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we've been doing it, and I sent for the shingles. I ended up wrote a letter and sent a bunch of information to all the contractors in town. We sent over 100 and something letters, and we've had okay use, but there's just not a lot of help.
Not this time of year.
Right now, so it might pick up.
Yeah, well, it's gonna when everything.
But it will pick up.
The thing is not just only giving them that initial start, but having someone to follow through with it. Like Rachel's put everything out there in it. She's distributed information and everything else. Say 6 months down the line, they're not going to think about that. They're not going to remember that. Why can't, let's do something else. Let's send the information out 2, 3, 4 times.
Which one of you were using the word incentive?
Me.
I think that's it.
Is incentive.
Can we give a builder an incentive?
Mm-hmm.
Like, will it cost him less to dump his stuff if he separates out the shingles?
Well, talk to my husband and their company. They'll tell you. Rachel's talked to them.
Yeah.
They're all about it, and they've even told their contractors about it.
Yeah.
And other contractors, because they've done it since, the first week they started doing it with him?
Yeah, that one is an incentive.
It is an incentive. So that's why they do it. And they'll tell you the first couple of times, we had to get used to separating this, just like recycling. But they said after the 2 jobs, they had it down. And they said they were just as quick as they've always been. They said there was no difference.
No difference.
Yeah, they said there was no difference. They said it just took like 2 times of, okay, I got to put this here and this here, and once they figured it out, they got it.
And they're not leaving shingles in your bushes.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't leave shingles
in your
bushes
anyway.
But it's incentive.
Marcus, you were going to add something to your 5% recycling of the county comment.
The state of North Carolina publishes rankings for recycling. I think we're in the top 25%, maybe.
Correctly.
5% doesn't sound too good, but actually, it's not great, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
What do you
That's
think
a lot better than I thought.
What do you think would be a realistic objective?
I mean, if we look at it from, we try to provide the opportunities for folks to do that. And a lot of these opportunities actually cost us less money, like the shingles. They cost us a lot less money to process shingles, but we don't put out a box. The vendor comes and picks up the box and takes it away, which is a lot cheaper than operating the transfer station. So, I mean, it just varies. And it also equates to how much, Orange County has a 80% recycling rate, but they spend a lot of money. It's like everything. You have the economy on this end and the environment on this end, and there's a spectrum between that, where your comfort level is on that. And I think we do a really good job of providing opportunities for getting your household hazardous waste out of the tree, recycling out of there, and your now soon to be mercury and shingles and providing these things. And we do education and outreach, but that is the real crux. I mean, and it's kind of something diminishing returns where, we had an army of 12 Rachels. How much more?
Yeah.
I'm the one that gets in front of the commissioners and asks for positions and having to pay for them. And, that would be really difficult for me to get my head around, asking for more. I don't ask for any positions. Try not to. That would be just
go. Okay, thank you.
Is there a goal set? Do you have a goal?
There used to be. The state used to have a goal for counties to meet a 40%.
40.
And, and I guess if you had to say, that was back in the 80s, I think. And that would probably be, and if everybody, if you go to 40% is the number you use that your household you recycle, you would pretty easily hit a 40% recycling rate. That's kind of where that comes from. We've got a lot of folks in here that kind of recycle, and folks that don't, and it's averaging out to about, and that's 5% on household kind of recycled materials. If you add in our wood waste that we divert, the shingles and everything, we're higher than that.
Just household.
Yeah, 5% is what they're trashing.
Pam, just something at the very bottom of page 13 refers to the anti-idling policy. And what struck me about that yesterday morning, I was out walking our 3.5-year-old corgi in our neighborhood, and one of the vehicles from Hendersonville Water and Sewer was there to do some work with one of the houses. The gentleman there was in short sleeve shirt. It was probably in the mid-20s when I was out. And he left his pickup truck idling for the time that I walked past and back, a good 20 minutes. And my thought is, when I looked at this, I say, why aren't we already doing this? Why isn't there you put it in place? And, if it's 25 degrees out, put a jacket on, turn your vehicle off, and when you get back in your vehicle, it doesn't have to be toasty warm. It can be sort of warm because you got a jacket on. And what struck me about that is that's something that we could do now. We don't have to sit here and have a think tank or, decide how the citizens would feel about it. Just do it.
Unfortunately, you're talking about the same thing if you talk with your comment about lowering your thermostat at home.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to do that.
Well,
and
this
it's
is for
unfair
city employees. Yeah.
Oh, for city employees? Yeah.
City employees. And I think the idea here is ultimately the taxpayer is paying for this, paying for the gas, paying for, whatever the recidivism here that suggested that a reduction in idling prevents engine deterioration and extends engine life. We're paying long-term for that engine to run. Now, I could also make the argument probably it's compared to what municipalities or the county spends, it's nickels and dimes. But if that's being done on a widespread basis, not to mention carbon munitions.
Which what started all this, and your point was, should we take that kind of language out of that?
Yeah. I would be in favor of that. But there are enough reasons to cut down emissions that have nothing to do with our carbon footprint or
Yeah, it wouldn't change the document too much more. You'd still have an energy.
Yeah.
You'd still have the one or two points. You're just eliminating the third language.
Because, I mean, as my daughter is looking pretty silly for having not vaccinated her kids back then based on... And she's very bright. I mean, she made her decision based on the information she had at the time. But, I mean, 10 years from now, people may be looking back at this document and saying, oh, they fell for that hockey stick thing. So, yeah, I would like to see that. We've got a quorum. Does anybody agree with me? How many people would like to see that language removed from the planning document? Anybody else? Could I have a show of hands? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 9. So that's, we can now say the committee would like to see that language removed from the document.
I don't, my copy's being shared. Can you tell me if I can just write down the table?
I'll write
start
it on
page
a paper.
Page 7.
Let's see, page 7 on the elements.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, Kim, I didn't hear what
it said. It's starting on page 7, where it says carbon footprint reduction as a component, and carbon and greenhouse gas emissions reduction. We could just say air pollution reduction. On page
9,
instead of saying
under goals,
instead of saying GHG emissions reduction and carbon footprint reduction goals, we could maybe just do the one, take the carbon footprint reduction goals.
Again, pollution, air pollution, emission reduction.
One thought regarding that, because I understand the problem, the issue we're trying to resolve, but oftentimes with documents like this, you want it to be quantifiable. So if carbon footprint is a measure that we can quantify, in other words, if we're at, you know, X number here and we want to get to this number and we take that language out, how do you quantify air pollution? There could be any number of measures or chemicals you're looking at. I mean, because you want to be as broad-based as possible so we're not hamstring going forward, but also that it's something we can measure now and in the future.
The EPA has standards for air quality, sulfur dioxide, and they list the whole thing. So maybe we could refer, I think that's a good point, refer to EPA standards concerning.
Right. Yeah. I think that gives us some teeth, rather than just saying air pollution.
Particulate criteria.
Referring to, and I'm sure there are, you can go online and get the documents and say paragraph this, sentence that. Okay.
Pam, question, is this our document or does this represent a kind of a consolidation across other county organizations like ours?
Yes.
Other committees.
Yeah, it doesn't just concern us.
Okay, all right, great.
But since we're the environment people, I narrowed in on the things that would affect our environment. And the other things affecting the environment, if you read through the document, they're super.
Well, and I just raised a question on page 7. At the bottom of that grid, you've got cultural and community vitality, economic vitality. Those seem to me, for instance, to be beyond our scope vis-a-vis owned or shared by other, and I wasn't sure what input we have from the other groups into this, or is this just simply our thinking?
This is just our reaction to this document.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And I feel we have a obligation to react to energy, transportation, solid waste, water resources.
Yeah.
Anybody else feel we ought to be getting into cultural and community vitality? I'm all for it. But
leave that to the Henderson Tourism Development Authority.
Which exists.
Which is listed as one.
Yeah.
I think economic vitality is kind of beyond our scope.
Way beyond our scope. And then we were talking about...
Okay, we were 12 and 13.
Yeah, 12 and 13.
Hey, I'll call you back. The alternative fuels, efficient and effective work environment. I think I don't know if that's way high on my list, with the cost of gasoline being as cheap as it is right now. Can we justify alternative fuels at this point? Is the question I.
Do you think they're going to stay this low?
No, no. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, I think we need to be ready to jump. I think we need to have done the studies, and I think we need to know how much it would cost and who would retrofit county vehicles to use a different fuel, like hydrogen, you know, concentrated liquid hydrogen. So. But I don't know, putting in an electric car charging station is not my idea of a way high priority right now. Mm.
No, there's certainly a lot of efforts to come up with fuel alternatives. But at this point in time, there's not a lot that we can do as an individual or a group. No. We're kind of where we are at this point in time.
And invest in a company that's raising, pond scum to make oil out of.
What's algae?
Yeah, algae, thank you.
I don't remember where I heard this, but somewhere I remember hearing that the solar energy industry is 100 years old.
Yeah.
And so at some point, let's just say that's approximately true. It's at some point, you'd have to ask yourself the question, is it ever going to be viable from a market standpoint? And every time we turn around, the federal government is pouring millions of dollars into boondoggles that have promise on the front end, but the market isn't responding to it. And there's nothing out there yet to compete with fossil fuels.
If you read this document, the solar energy that they're suggesting is to make hot water, which is viable.
It's very viable.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, all they're talking about with solar is hot water.
So my question would then begin, in terms of the aggregate costs or energy usage, what slice of that does heating hot water represent?
Yeah.
And so when you get down to the cost-benefit comparisons, there are some I would expect some disproportionate costs and investments made for the relative return that you might
have. Hot water pays for itself.
Yeah.
Quickly, it's the biggest bang for your buck.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's an example of something that, in the midst of the kind of the dilemma that you laid out at the outset, that you could carve that out and say, but in this particular instance, you know, what I'm saying everybody uses hot water.
I actually have some pie charts and statistics and stuff that.
Did you really?
He's right about that. It's the best bang.
Yeah,
we had one back
quick
in
return,
the
yeah,
quick
good,
payoff.
Good.
Late
70s. Yeah, okay, good.
I've got some pie charts and statistics and some information on things like that as far as household use and energy conservation that I would be glad to email you if you would like.
I think everybody in the committee probably would benefit from something like
that.
Well,
did a field trip
over
to the courthouse.
Rachel? Okay. I'll email them to you. And
there's also a link that I sent in our minutes from this last meeting that has a link to our heliodyne system that runs the controls.
We had a field trip.
Oh, did you not hear that?
No.
So you can look at real-time data for the system that we have on our website.
Yeah, okay, great.
It's good. Really cool.
It's very good.
Yeah. I used it in my paper.
I don't have residential information, so I'm happy to send that out if you're listening to me.
There's a I guess it's Cayuga Convention Centers to camp the crown out Cayuga.
Cayuga?
Yeah. They're all solar hot water.
Mm.
All their camping cabins, all that's solar hot water.
And you can splash around in it. You fill the tub up to here, and it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
a hotel that's ran all solar hard water.
I think a large percentage of the problem with that is the cost.
The initial cost.
It's the initial cost.
And there's companies in the area, what they'll do is they'll install it, maintain it for a particular period of time, reap the tax benefits off of it, which helps to, you know, defer that cost, that initial cost for the purchaser of such systems.
But even without the government subsidies, which of course you want to take advantage of, but since they're there, even without that, it might take 15 years for payback, but you're still enjoying it after the 15 years.
Right.
And it gets free after 15 years, which is...
Yeah, once you just pay for it, now you're up on the plus side.
So that's an example where you have a hard, you have a tangible return.
Yeah.
You can look out, and over a period of time, you're going to not only recover your costs, but then you're going to
save,
as opposed to some kind of theoretical or ethereal goal.
I would say 99% of this document is that way.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
But those were only the little things that I ran into, anyway. Sitting around with nothing to do. Too much time.
Healing, yeah.
Pam, what was the document that you read from?
It was just the thing. It's like an editorial.
Could you PDF that?
Here, I'll give you a hard copy.
No, well, okay.
I'm done.
I could PDF
it has the address on on the bottom.
Thank you.
Anybody else want one?
Yes, please.
Zoom. And I was, that particular thing is not the be-all and end-all of factual information. It doesn't have, I was looking for, they would say, according to a study by the so-and-so, I emailed them and asked them, what study, you know, when, who wrote that, may I see the figures? So it's not a scholarly document, it's a just thought-provoker.
I can keep this.
Yes. Yeah, anybody that wants one is welcome to.
Okay. Yay. Why don't you push one down, Mom? Thank you.
Okay. So we made a motion that we get the carbon footprint
redact that out
and put in particulate matter referring to EPA standards
and criteria air pollutants.
Yeah. And so that's what we accomplished today, other than encouraging, hopefully, our bee ladies. I was a tripe lady once, which is another story.
A what?
A what?
Tripe lady.
Like a fish?
No, tripe. Like the guts of a cow.
Oh, yum.
It sounded more like a fish.
You'd wish it were a fish.
Yeah, right.
So I will entertain a motion to adjourn, and I'll tell you my tripe story. Our next meeting. That's the next thing on the agenda. Do you think this every two months is working, or since
twice
the first thing we did was push it off?
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to meet last month. And
Is that working for us, or should our next meeting be two weeks?
Let's try 2 months because we didn't get a chance to
really
do it. That, yeah.
Okay.
So we're still kind of.
So that would make our next meeting.
So are we going to do like a meeting every 2 months and then every month in between try to do a field trip?
Wow.
Or are we going to do it after meetings like we discussed?
I like after meetings.
Some of the facilities, like our solid waste facilities, close at 4:30.
Yeah.
So
before the meeting.
We have to do it in place of the meeting or before, but there's other places that we can go to.
Okay. Yeah, and Sheila would have to call so we can go to this place, Highland.
Or
so
they can help pick up litter after.
Yeah, give us little sticks.
Yeah, we do have
orange bags.
We get some bags for you. It's whatever you prefer.
We can use some inmates for that, right?
We do.
I will chaperone if I need to.
I get to carry the gun. No, I'm kidding.
That's why I wanted to do it.
2 months from today?
Two months from today.
Would that be the night?
Well, not 2 months from today. It has to be there.
So we're talking March?
Yeah.
Can we make it the 19th?
Wouldn't it be April?
It'll be April.
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 Sorry.
The first Thursday.
That's mine, Kevin.
That's the second?
Second?
April 2nd.
April 2nd would be the first Thursday?
Yes.
Okay, let's make it April 2nd, 3 o'clock. Or earlier if it works out that way.
What's the earliest everyone can meet on a weekday? Like if we met on a Thursday?
It's on Thursday.
7 a.m.?
Oh, no.
Well,
it's a day off for me, so I can meet anytime you want.
And you came in late, so when?
Yeah, 3 works fine. I just got hung up today. I'm sorry I was late.
Okay.
Okay, because, I mean, I could be 2 or any time before 10. So like if we did do a trip on a Thursday before the meeting or something, that's why I asked.
Yeah. And you said Highlands. Is it literally down in Highlands?
Oh, no, it's right here. Highland Lake.
Highland Lake.
Yeah, it's not Lake Road.
I was thinking we could have our meeting in the car.
Yeah, it's not very far. But we could get a bus, right? We could transit and do the meeting on the bus. Think we could do that? Get a bus? What is it, 50 cents to run?
Oh, get on the upper country train?
Make them take us there?
Make them
take us there. I'm so demanding.
So you're going to contact them and see if that would be feasible next?
Yeah, actually, I have to speak with a couple people there this evening anyway about the clubhouses down there. So
I'm glad. Okay, now I can entertain a meeting.
What about 5, environmental programs update? Is there one?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Rachel.
Is that something I left in from the previous?
I don't know.
No, that's the meeting summary from last time. I think. Did I just leave it in?
It says it on here.
Environmental program.
Probably when I was rewriting.
Isn't that what you just read?
Just cross it out. We all approved it, but
I thought you were going to do it.
I wondered if it was. That was last month.
I didn't vote, so I don't have to say.
I was. I'm on drugs.
That explains it.
Tylenol shouldn't do that to you, though.
No. Or to us.
It's all the votes.
Okay, would you like a motion to adjourn?
Oh, I would. I would.
Okay, Mom. Ryan, how about you?
So moved.
Hi.
Hi, thank you.
What time is it? 4 o'clock.
Very good.
4:03. Yeah.
Thank you.
Rachel, do you have an update on the question?